Brother Steve. Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103 this morning, Psalm 103. And again, I want to remind the church family that we do have much that's going on here tonight. We want to encourage you to be back here this evening. We're going to have a Singspiration, and I've asked Brother Sean McKinney is going to come, and he's going to lead that Singspiration for us. Brother McKinney does a great job with our music in our school, and he's going to lead us in several songs and have some specials, and we're looking forward to that. We also need to have an election here, a special election for deacons, and we have posted out there by the bulletin board the latest nominating committee report, and if there are any other nominations, we need to have those in here this morning after the service, and we'll get ready for an election here tonight. And then we're going to finish with having some ice cream. And so we're looking forward to having a great rest of the day, and trust you'll be able to join us here tonight at 6 o'clock. Psalm 103, and if you would please stand, I want to read for you from Psalm 103, beginning in verse number 10, where the Scripture says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." It was in the mid-1800s that a young boy was born in rural New Jersey in a small town. And it just happened that his father was a merchant in town, but also the best singer in town. And his father could sing, had a deep, rich, full voice. And he sang oftentimes in church. However, his son was not so inclined. He just didn't have that same singing voice. And it bothered this boy as he grew up. And he got saved at a young age, and he and his family attended church faithfully. But he so wanted to contribute, and his dad always was called upon to sing. And then there was this boy. Well, after he graduated from high school, he followed and tried to work in his father's business. And that didn't seem to fit him, and so he decided he would enter the ministry, and he awkwardly served in various ministries, and it wasn't until he was 36 years of age that he discovered his calling for life. You see, Johnson Oatman Jr. was not able to sing, but he could write. And he wrote several songs. In fact, from the age of 36 until he concluded some 25 years later, Johnson Oatman Jr. actually wrote an average of 200 hymns a year. For 25 years until he had completed 5,000 hymns. Johnson Oatman Jr., I believe, probably the greatest hymn that he ever wrote. And interestingly, he never earned more than a dollar a song. That's all he earned. But it didn't matter because contented he was. And I believe his greatest hymn is the one that I'm referencing here this morning. "Count Your Many Blessings." He says in that song, just one verse in the chorus, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done." Have you counted your many blessings lately? You know, I want you to know this morning that no matter what your lot in life, I think there is something that is true of all. And that is no matter what your circumstance, that you and I are doing better than we deserve. It's better than we deserve. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. And I pray that you would help us to have that realization that, Lord, we have been shown mercy. God, I pray that you'd help us to count our blessings this morning. And Lord, to name them one by one. And I pray that you'd help each and every one to go away from here more contented, more thankful because of a merciful God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I love this 103rd Psalm. In fact, it is one of Valerie's go-to Psalms. Everybody ought to have those places in Scripture that you can turn to when you have the greatest needs. It's one of her favorites, and if you didn't know it, the book of Psalms is actually written, and it is actually comprised of five separate books. And those five different books, many have contemplated why there are five. I've heard of several explanations. One that I think might possibly fit is the fact to mirror the first five books of the Bible are called the Torah, and the five books of Moses, even mirroring that, that you would have the psalmist as compiling here, you have five separate books. It just so happens that this psalm is part of that fourth section, the fourth book. And it is actually one of the final four psalms in that section, beginning with Psalm 103 through Psalm 106. And all of these psalms, Psalm 103 through Psalm 106, are praise psalms. And they praise God for various things. In the 103rd Psalm, the psalmist is praising God for all of his benefits. In the 104th Psalm, there's praise for the care that God has for Israel. In the 105th Psalm, there's praising God for all of his wonderful acts to that nation. And then the 106th Psalm, the long-suffering of God, in spite of all of the failures of that nation, God still loves. You know, this 103rd Psalm is very special because it is entirely a praise psalm. You will not find one request, not an asking for anything in this psalm. It's all devoted to praise. It's all devoted to exalting God and telling God how wonderful He is. You find that the psalmist David here, he comprises this psalm and really in three parts. He begins, first of all, with the first six verses, personally praising God. Then the next 13 verses, on behalf of a nation should praise God. And finally, the last couple of verses indicate that the entire universe, yes, should praise God. In verse number 2, he encourages us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Have you realized that God has given you benefits? You are loaded today. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that even said about this psalm, that this particular psalm, there's too much in this psalm for even 1,000 pens to write about. He found it inexhaustible, that you cannot even extrapolate everything that's in the psalm. The psalmist here is really praising God. It's been called David's Hallelujah Chorus. And it's called that because of the precision. You realize that, by the way, this particular psalm contains 22 verses. Why is that important? It is one of three psalms that literally mirroring the Hebrew alphabet has only 22 verses. In addition, it is perfectly put together. Almost as if David was trying to have his masterpiece in this particular psalm. All of the verses here are of uniform length in the Hebrew. It may not reflect in our English, but every one of the verses are two lines, and every one is exactly the same length. It's as if David here is trying to attempt once and for all to have a perfect praise of a perfect God. Notice how he even concludes, almost like he takes a deep breath. And in verse number 1, he begins by saying, "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." How are you doing today? I want to just let you know that no matter what your lot in life, you and I are doing better than we deserve, especially notice verse number 10. The reason I say that is because of what David calls our attention to. He says in verse number 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Do you realize that God doesn't give us what we deserve? You see, if I got what I deserve today, I would go to hell. If you got what you deserve today, you would go to hell as well. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve to walk on streets of gold. You know, if it wasn't for God's love, we would all die and go to hell. You find that, for instance, in several verses. Romans 6 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but," there's that glorified conjunction. We find the same conjunction there. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. Now, if it wasn't for that conjunction, if God just simply stopped with the wages of sin is death, that would be our lot in life. We would die and we would go to hell. But, it goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, folks, we need to realize this morning that hell is real. And hell is a place that people go to, people have gone, people will go to, and anybody without Christ as Savior will die and go to hell. That's where all of us deserve to go. It's only because of the mercy of God that you and I are not destined eternally in a lake of fire. We need to realize that if it wasn't for God, if God didn't do something, you and I would go to hell. Oh, but I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want us to go to hell. Story is told of Abraham Lincoln, that at the end of the Civil War, he had several of his close advisors that came to him and trying to determine what to do with the leaders of the Confederate Army and the leaders of the Confederacy. Several of his leaders thought that they should be harsh and that they should actually even try, convict, and maybe in some cases even execute those leaders. And Abraham Lincoln was just simply taken back by that, and he said, no, he said, I want us to treat them as if they had never been away, as if these states had never seceded. Now, I want us to treat them like normal. And several of the men said, oh, we ought to hang them. And Abraham Lincoln was heard to say, no, we don't need to hang them. We need to hang on to them. You know, God is of the same persuasion. The Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God's will is not that people go to hell. God's will is that everybody be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven when they die. But that doesn't mean that everybody is automatically saved. See, you and I need to realize that we also need to will or receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And we aren't saved just simply because God provided. We're saved when we receive that free gift. We are saved when we acknowledge our sin and our sinfulness. When we acknowledge we don't deserve heaven. If it wasn't for that, that you and I would be destined to hell. But thank God, we don't get what we deserve. And if you receive Christ, you don't have to go to hell, and you won't. Oh, that's wonderful this morning. You see, one thing that God is not short of is mercy. In fact, the book of Lamentations says that His mercies are new every morning. God isn't just simply merciful. I want you to understand, God is merciful. That is part of His being. That is part of who He is. He can't be anything but merciful. Doesn't mean people won't go to hell. People will go to hell if they are not willing to receive Christ, if they don't receive Christ. You see, there's something even within the teaching of the Old Testament. As the Old Testament pictures a closeness to God and pictured most intimately inside that Holy of Holies, that place where the Ark of the Covenant was always born and fixed, and the focal point is the Shekinah glory would cover that place. There was inside of that the Ark of the Covenant, and on the Ark was what was called the mercy seat. It was literally the lid, the picture of where God rested, where God sat. You know where God is? God is where mercy is. God is merciful. Listen, if I got what I deserve, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'd go to hell. If I got what I deserve, whenever I spoke to God, whenever I speak to God, tried to speak to God, God would turn away from me because I am a sinner. Oh, yes, I, your pastor, am a sinner, and so are you. See, we don't deserve to have God listen to us. I'm glad, by the way, about that verse, the same verse, same teaching that teaches us how to be saved, that also teaches us how to stay in tune with God and how to stay close to God. In 1 John 1 and verse number 7, the Bible assures us that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Listen, there are two types of people. There are saved sinners and lost sinners, but even saved sinners need to confess their sin and stay right with God. And I'm so glad, by the way, that you and I can do that and we can have that close relationship with God. That's why we're here this morning. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't go to heaven. If I got what I deserved, God wouldn't listen to me. I'll tell you what else. If I got what I deserve, I wouldn't even be here today. I wouldn't be in this church. I wouldn't have the family and friends and loved ones. I wouldn't have all of the things that I enjoy today. I wouldn't have the wonderful marriage for the last 33 years as Valerie and I have enjoyed a marital relationship together. God has been blessing us time and time again. I think about my two children. I think about my two granddaughters and how blessed I am. I think about if I got what I deserve, I wouldn't own my own home. I wouldn't have cars. I wouldn't have the health that I have. Realize that I've still got 10 fingers and 10 toes. And God has been so good to me in the health that I have. And you and I realize what God has done for us is nothing short of His mercy. God has been merciful. How about some unique pains in this world that some here will never ever experience? Think about those who have experienced the battle dangers and the imprisonments and time in jail. Now, how about the agony of torture? You know, I haven't endured any of that. I haven't been on a battlefield. I'm able to drive and relatively speaking peacefully as we come to our church this morning. Some have endured the pangs of starvation. You realize that with all of those unique pains that I just described, if you have never experienced them, that you are ahead of 500 million people. See, we have been blessed. How about our church? You know, you and I don't deserve this church. In spite of the problems, in spite of faults, in spite of the fact that your preacher is fallible, and all of us, well, we don't have, we have leaks once in a while. Brother Gary knows this with the building. We've been trying to get to the roof, and the roofers have been working on that gym. And once in a while, we have leaks. We have things that break down, things that have problems. And sometimes things don't work exactly the way that we designed them. Now listen, you realize that we are blessed with this church? Just the fact that we can meet openly. Do you realize that just the freedom that we have without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, that puts us ahead of more than 3 million people in the world. You see, there's a lot of folks today that are not able to enjoy the freedoms that we have. How about provisions? You know, if you have food in your refrigerator, if you have clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world's population. And yet we just take it for granted. We complain we don't have enough. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough clothes. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, some spare change collecting in a piggy bank or a spare dish, you are among the top 8% of wealth in the world. We don't think of it that way, but that's the truth. Do you realize that we here in America, how blessed we are in this country? With 5% of the world's population, we have access to and we use 70% of the world's resources. I'm here to tell you that America has been blessed. It's not what we deserve. It's not that we have this coming to us. You realize that we don't have to worry about where our meals are going to come from. We don't have to worry about whether or not we're going to have clean water, running water. We don't have to worry about even being able to have a doctor to go to and all of the resources that we have, we don't have to worry about that. There's so many people in this world. You realize that one-third of our world today doesn't have even access to a Bible? And yet we come with our Bibles, we come with our songs that we sing, we've got church. I'm simply saying that we are blessed. How about the education? If I got what I deserved, I would not have had the education that I've had. And I've been blessed attending public schools, attending Christian school, Bible college, seminary. You know, I think about, as we even get ready here in a few days to start another year of Christian education, ministry of First Baptist Church, one of our ministries is that we have had now for 40, 45 years, we have had a school that we have provided as a ministry of our church, and we've got dedicated staff, dedicated teachers. And listen, it's not perfect, but I'm thankful for this school. My two children grew up and attended and graduated from this school. And many of you here have attended or sent your children or maybe even your grandchildren to the school. Listen, I want to let you know that in spite of the fact that there are problems, this school is a blessing. It doesn't mean everybody has to have this as their school. We, of course, understand some are in the public school, and we support that. We support those of you that are homeschooling, that we're for you, we're encouraging you, that we want to try and be there as a church family. But thank God we can have a school. You know, I've always had one rule of thumb when it came to the children in the school, and that is that the children have to want to be here. And I will even clue you in, some of you kids, if you don't want to be here, all you have to do is just let Pastor Clear know, I don't want to be here. Because many times I've had a young person that have told me, Pastor Clear, I don't want to be here. We'll figure out a way for you not to be here then. We'll talk to your mom and dad. We'll make sure we accommodate the request. You don't want to be here if you don't realize what a blessing it is? Fine, you don't have to be here. See, why don't we get back to realizing we don't deserve this? I think back, by the way, that's one of the problems of any time that you have, you get past the initial founding of something, whether it's a church, whether it's a school. I'll tell you something else. That's a marriage. That's why I'm going to be teaching, coming up here beginning September the 10th. Brother Chris and I have been planning this out, but I'm going to be teaching alongside of the book, Love and Respect, a great book, teaching on marriage. I'm going to be teaching for 6 weeks in Sunday school, combined class, because I happen to believe that when you say, I do, we just had a couple got married yesterday, and what a blessing for Yar and Evelina as they started their wedded life together, started their life together as man and wife. And I thought about that. You know, it's important that they stay happily married, and it's important that some of us that have been married for years, that we stay happily married. And listen, oftentimes we don't even remember or realize what a blessing it is to be married. We don't work at it. I'm here to tell you that we need to realize that God has been merciful to us. Listen, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be married. She wouldn't have agreed to marry me. She wouldn't have said, I do. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't have the many friends that I have today. You know, I think about the verse where Jesus even said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus, certainly, if you don't have any other friend, you have Jesus. He's the best friend anybody can ever have. I thought about this. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't even be alive. How many of you have ever had any, what I call, close calls with death? I mean, where you came really close. I've told the story before. I'm not proud of this, but when I was a teenager, I was driving my car, and I was driving too fast, and I was driving too reckless, and I'll still not forget the point when I was driving down that rural, just outside of New Ulm, and I was coming to one of those towns where you are out before you're in. You know, where they may have like, you know, just one little crossroad and maybe a grain elevator and maybe one store and that's it. And I was coming into this town and there was a semi-truck in front of me, and I'll never forget that that semi-truck was going so slow, and I thought, well, listen, I'll just simply just zoom around him. And so I decided I'm going to just pass him up just real quick and get around him and just be on my way. Well, what I didn't realize until it was almost too late was that we were coming up to the one crossroad in town, and he had turned on his left turn signal. He was turning left. And I tried to zoom by him. I mean, I'm speeding. I'm not proud of this. I was going way too fast, and I couldn't see his left turn signal because in the springtime, mud had covered his turn signal, and so I couldn't even see it. But all of a sudden, I realized, almost at the last second, I realized he's turning. And I slammed on my brakes. And I don't even know how, but somehow, without rolling over, I just simply spun around about 3 or 4 times. And when I stopped, I literally was looking within a couple of inches of sliding right underneath that semi-trailer. I came that close. Now, by the way, I will tell you to this day, in spite of what I deserved, I believe God wanted this church to have me be a pastor here. And that was God sparing my life, not because of me, but because of you and because of Valerie, because of my children, because of my family. Listen, sometimes God is good to us even when we don't deserve it. Sometimes God does some things. Now, listen, what am I saying this morning? I wrote down here just a couple of thoughts or suggestions based upon the fact that I could stand here this morning and tell you all of the merciful things that God has done for me and all of the merciful things that God has done for you. But can I suggest here this morning that you and I do three merciful reactions? Three things in response to the mercy of God. Number one, count your blessings, not your troubles. Count your blessings, not your troubles. Too many people gripe and complain. And too many people gripe and complain constantly. You know, these past couple of weeks, I've actually been taking several of my vacation days, and Valerie and I have had a project that we underwent this summer. Just a few weeks ago, we had determined here back several months ago that it was time for us to start working on our yard and our landscaping. And so we all of a sudden began a project here a couple of weeks ago, and it's been quite a project. As we've been digging up, we've been hauling things off, we've been reshaping, re-landscaping, a lot of things around the yard, taking the rock out, cleaning the rock around the house, and Valerie's been putting in this garden around the apple tree in the backyard, all of this work. There was a day several days ago, and we've actually laughed about it and been laughing. But there's a day, a couple of days ago, that we had worked so long and so hard, and we're both in our mid-50s. Valerie's about to turn 55, by the way, and just a couple of days, and I'll probably get in trouble for mentioning that. But, I mean, we're in our mid-50s, and so we're not, you know, young like we used to be. And so there was one day a couple of days ago, and we were working so hard, and we got to the end of the day, and I called us moan and groan. And I was moan, and she was groan. And we didn't have a whole lot of conversation at the end of the day except, It was just like that the whole night. We kind of laughed about it. You know, the aches and pains after a good day's work. You know, by the way, I'm thankful that we had the health that we could work hard. I'm thankful that we had parents that taught us to work hard. You know, that's a blessing. I'm thankful that we have had the resources that we could invest in our yard. All of that. Listen, rather than complain and gripe about what you don't have, why not thank God for what you do have? In Galatians chapter 6, we are talking about bearing burdens. And we have the great verse that talks about in verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a ministry there of bringing the wanderer back to Jesus. But then you have two seemingly conflicting verses, because verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse number 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You know, I've oftentimes reflected, which is it? Are we supposed to bear burdens, or are we supposed to bear our own burdens? You know, I will tell you that, by the way, both are true. In other words, I think as much as possible that you ought to take care of the things yourself, that you can take care of yourself, just you and God. You don't need to be, you know, pawning off all of your problems to everybody else. But, you know, there are some times when we need help. And it's those times there that we ought to be the type of a helper and the type of a friend and the time of a supporter that they can just simply come in there and reflectively bear the burdens of others. That's, by the way, really a ministry of a church. That's a ministry of a family that we ought to pitch in and bear one another's burdens. Now listen, count your blessings. Don't start counting your problems. And by the way, don't broadcast your problems all the time. It doesn't mean that you don't reflectively ask somebody to pray. That's why, if you notice, when we come to a Sunday morning and we begin, we mention some prayer requests. Those are prayer requests. And I'm so thankful for folks that pray. How important that is. But let's make sure we count our blessings, not our troubles. Let me give you another thought I had down, and that is live life one day at a time. Live life one day at a time. My life's verse is Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Literally speaking, whenever I come to a stairway, a series of steps, it's once in a while, it's not uncommon for me to go upstairs and to skip a step. However, it's dangerous to skip steps going down. And you can twist your ankle. You can wreck your foot. You can, twist, fall. You can get in a lot of trouble if you skip some steps. That's why we need to take life's turns a step at a time. You know, trying to skip steps is going to hurt you. And that's where literally a lot of people, they are anxious. I believe one of the problems of anxiety or being all worried about things is the problem of trying to take too many steps at once. You realize what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? He said, "Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of itself." In other words, don't be bothered about everything that's going to happen a long time from now. You probably can't do everything about it, can't do much about it. Now, what you can address is right now. Doesn't mean you don't address future problems. But listen, I think that so much of our attention gets focused on things. It consumes our thoughts. And rather than being productive and rather than being helpful, it oftentimes hinders us and we worry. Now, how much sleep have we lost? How much time that we could have invested with others has been wasted simply because we've been trying to live our whole days all at once. And so let's live life one day at a time. And then I put this down. Let's learn to be a giver rather than just a getter. Learn to be a giver rather than a getter. Acts 20 and verse number 35. The Apostle Paul said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus," how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." In other words, don't be stingy. I've always, by the way, noticed on my keyboard, as I've been typing, I do a lot of typing of my notes and different things. I've noticed two symbols that seem to me, they always remind me of the two sister virtues of God, the mercy and grace of God, and that is the arrow that points to the right and the arrow that points to the left. Those, by the way, remind me of really what mercy and grace is. Grace is really the arrow pointing to the right. In other words, that's God giving me more than what I deserve. That's the grace of God. Mercy, on the other hand, is God giving me less than what I deserve. I deserve hell, he gives me heaven. I deserve to be, maybe punished, but he shows me mercy. And so it's less than, I love those symbols, and oftentimes I've just simply kind of categorize them, and as I'm typing along, I see those symbols, and I want to type in a mercy and a grace, a less than, a more than, because that's the way God doesn't treat me the way I deserve. He sometimes treats me better than I deserve and less than what I deserve in the case of mercy. God is so good. Now, by the way, can I, at this point here, make an announcement? And with this announcement, because I believe this is a good teaching time for us, Valerie and I, of course, along with you, have been praying much for Brother Norm Taylor. And recently, this week, we were with Norm and Francie. And as you all know, Brother Norm has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Had a surgery several weeks ago. And it started a practice here of chemotherapy. Recently, they have come to the conclusion, and they've even gotten some other opinions, but they recently came to the conclusion that the cancer has come back and is aggressively attacking his body. Because of that, this has been a struggle for them, but Brother Norm and Francie are at peace with not getting any more treatment, but instead just simply trying to live life one day at a time. The doctors have literally said they don't expect Brother Norm to live more than weeks, maybe even months. But I want you to know that here's a couple that they have peace. Even though there's pain, they have peace. What I want to encourage you, because Brother Norm, of course, is chairman of our deacons. Francie is our beloved Francie. And we love this couple dearly. But can I encourage you how to help? Can I encourage you? Don't stop praying. But can I encourage you as well? Treat them with the necessary love and respect that they need. That means this. You don't need to go to them at this point here and ask all sorts of questions. I gave you as much information as you need by their request. You don't need to ask them, well, listen, I need to understand your diagnosis. By the way, I would urge you, you don't need to go to them at this point here and say, well, you know, my grandma had this remedy, and you know, if you had tried this treatment or that treatment, I know somebody that they got helped with this and that. Folks, they have had good advice, and they have come to a conclusion that they are at peace with. What you and I need to do is now give to them the love and respect that they would do if it was any of us in this room. You know, can I just encourage you? This is a church family, by the way. And I'm not correcting you. I'm not rebuking you. But sometimes when we love people, sometimes we love them and we squeeze too hard. Have you ever had a hug from somebody that you couldn't breathe from? You ever had, you know, somebody that came to you and, boy, they bear hug, and boy, please let go. Right now, folks, don't give them a bear hug. Just give them a mild hug. Just love them. Just pray for them. And by the way, with many of you, if you are struggling with anything concerning, whether it be Norm or Francie or anything else, I want to let you know that Valerie and I, we are here for you to help you. And we're here to minister to you and even provide some viewpoints and provide even some direction. But I want you to learn to give to them in the right way. Because here's a couple that if there's a couple that has served our church in these last 30 years, it's been Norm and Francie Taylor. They have given and given and given and given. And I don't know how many times that, you know, at various events, that they always have their fingerprints of service in the ministry here. This is a time now for us to give to them. It's time for us to serve them as well. And I just want to encourage you to do that. And then finally, let me just say that if you understand mercy, then one of the things that you and I need to do in order to practice that we don't get what we deserve, is number four, let go and release all burdens to God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4 and verse number 2, continue in prayer. One of the things I believe that prayer is a giant spiritual release valve. If you don't go to pray, then you keep all of that pressure inside, and that's not healthy. By the way, God is willing to let you give Him all of your burdens. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God wants you to release. He doesn't want you to vent to others. He wants you to vent to Him. He wants you to release to Him. Now, that's why you and I, we need to learn that. You remember the story in the Bible of Mary and Martha. They well illustrate somebody who held it all in until it came out in an explosion, and somebody who released. Mary was devotedly at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, she was a basket case. And what did Jesus say to her? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, you and I, we need to live in mercy. I close with this story. But during the building of the Golden Gate Bridge over San Francisco Bay, construction fell and lapsed behind simply because of the danger and even the deaths of several construction workers that as they were risking their lives, some of them fell to their death. And so it caused intrepidation, and that so many different individuals, they were trying to work on the bridge, they just felt like, I can't do this, and it's not safe. And so they were trying to figure out a way that they could somehow overcome the massive fear of the workers. And finally, somebody came up with an outlandish idea that worked. And it was to build a giant net. A giant net that underneath all of the construction workers would span the entire width of the entire bridge structure. And they put this net, and once they put that net, they even demonstrated that if you fall off, you're going to be okay because you're going to be held by this net. Well, then all of a sudden it became kind of fun and it became freelance. And all of a sudden a bunch of them, they just felt free to just simply go out and work on this bridge. And of course, nobody died and everybody felt safe. You know why? Because of that net. You know, that's exactly what mercy is. Mercy is God providing that structure of safety where we aren't getting what we deserve. Oh, we're better than we deserve. This morning, He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. Thank God for that. You've got it better than you deserve. Father, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, in a special way, I pray that You would help us to realize that You have been good to us. And Lord, even as my heart is heavy here for Brother Norm and for Francie, Lord, You've been good to them. Lord, You will be good to them. Lord, to their family. Lord, their friends. Lord, I pray that You'd even help us this morning to realize how blessed we have been living in this country, in this church, our families, the possessions, the benefits. As the psalmist David said, forget not all his benefits. As the hymn writer, Johnson Oatman Jr., said, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Lord, forgive us for griping and complaining. Forgive us for even thinking we deserve much better. Oh, we deserve much worse because we're sinners. But Lord, we're so thankful that You didn't deal with us according to our sins, but You dealt with us according to Your mercy. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and Christians are praying. How about you? Have you realized the mercy of God today? Have you counted your blessings? Or have you started listing all of your problems? Have you started griping? Have you been like Valerie and I in a humorous way for us, but maybe not so for you, moaning and groaning because of your aches and your pains? Oh, this morning, let's be praising God. Let's determine we have it good. God has been good to me, and God has been good to you. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as Savior, it's according to His mercy He wants to save you. Not you getting what you deserve, but getting the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, if you're saved, are you living the life of contentment? Have you counted your blessings? Maybe this morning you need to come. Just simply thank God, maybe for your marriage. Thank God, maybe for your possessions. Thank God for your health. And here we've got this morning, chairman of our deacons. His health has been a struggle. Oh, but God has given you health. Thank God for it. Thank God for everything He's done for you. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come as God is speaking to your heart.